comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Greg Mahochko here alongside the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Well, hello, Greg, sir.
I trust you're doing well on this evening of Saturday.
I'm doing fantastic. Sober October is almost over. Got one more weekend to go.
You don't even have to go a whole weekend. You just got to get through Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. True. I consider Friday, Saturday, that's the weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people consider Saturday, Sunday the weekend, and those people are right, so I didn't know.
That's true.
All right, Mike, let's jump into it because it is already late and you're going to go to the gym later because you're crazy in the bestest of ways. Let's jump into the good book, shall we?
Let's do it.
And it actually took some time. I just started at page one and started flipping pages till I saw one I didn't recognize. So on page 52, we find a duo created by Alan Mandel and Dan Barry. They debuted in Clue Comics number one, which was a Hillman Periodicals, and this came out in January 1943. Let me tell you a little bit about Nightmare and Sleepy, because it's Halloween week, Mike. Nightmare,
I like it.
Nightmare and Sleepy. And let me tell you, according to the picture, you know, the phrase that became popular decades after this, you know, these characters would debut in comics, but, you know, like rock and roll would melt your face off. According to the comic frame that I'm seeing here, that's what they do. They melt faces.
Okay.
So, reading now from the League of Regrettable Superheroes, the Loot Crate edition by John Morris, you might think that the life of an itinerant professional wrestler would be sufficiently exciting for any individual traveling from town to town, testing your strength and skill in the squared circle, competing for honors and prizes awarded only to the greatest in the sport. For career grappler Bob White and his teenage manager Terry Wake, however, wrestling is only the prologue to adventure. Because outside the ring, they are in secret the outlandish costumed heroes Nightmare and his kid sidekick Sleepy.
Is there more?
There is. They don't say. I'm looking for any superpowers. All it says is that they decked out in a garish skeleton costume, which is doused in phosphorescent paint, so as to lend him additional creep factor. The burly Nightmare became a symbol of terror to an assembly of weird and often seemingly supernatural foes.
According to what I have found, there are no superpowers or gadgets. It says they are just regular Joes who put on costumes and fight crimes without superpowers or gadgets.
It's exactly what I'm reading here. It says the duo were all too human. Life on the road sometimes left them without money, food, or a place to sleep. It was tough being a wrestler back in the 40s, Mike. Talk about paying your dues.
Do you think that when they're creating, whoever's doing this and they're creating the characters, do you think they purposely don't give them superpowers and gadgets because they want to be like, oh, they're just like you and me, or do they just forget?
I think they thought that the skeleton bodysuit would strike fear in the hearts of evildoers. I don't know. It says halfway through their abbreviated existence, Nightmare and Sleepy lightened the tone. The elder partner dropped his skeleton suit for a more traditional skin-tight spandex superhero uniform, complete with encircled N insignia on his chest and a pair of horns on his cowl, which, you know, they say were more slightly reminiscent of the Bad Ears. But, you know, at the Horn could also could have been an early Daredevil.
Type, yes.
But I believe this character would have come out long before Daredevil. Let's see. Nightmare and Sleepy slugged common thugs, mugs, and the occasional Nazi in lieu of corpse thieves and sundry spirits.
Well, yeah, if it was in the 1943, of course they got to be Nazis.
Got to punch a Nazi.
Yeah. If you had a comic book in the 40s, you're fighting Nazis.
I feel like we've said that a lot on this show, Mike.
There's a lot of comic books from the 40s that belong in the book we have.
So, Nightmare and Sleepy, welcome to the League of Regrettable Superheroes. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't even know because there's no other... I don't even know how to put it. There's not any real... I mean, just find a big... You can find a pro wrestler. Find a pro wrestler and cast him as Nightmare. And then find, Zac Efron from 20 years ago to play Sleepy.
No. I mean, not a bad idea. We're going a different direction on this. Only reason I'm thinking of this because I've been watching Righteous Gemstones lately on HBO. So we're going Danny McBride and Adam Devine.
Well, Adam Devine is too old.
Well, so is Danny McBride.
No, Danny McBride could always be a washed-up professional wrestler.
That is true.
I mean,
Adam
pretty
Devine,
sure.
he has that young face.
Adam Devine is from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Well, get him on the podcast.
He's a Husker fan.
Well, get him on the podcast. Hey, pretend this is the Five Hearts podcast. And then just be like, just kidding.
I wish I could. I don't have that kind of pull.
Hey, so, Adam Devine, if you're listening, you're invited. Bring always. Danny McBride if you want.
Always. You're always welcome on the Nerds United podcast or the Five Heart podcast, another one of mine. So that'll be it for the League of Regrettable Superheroes this week, Mike.
All right.
In that case,
till
next time. Mike, why don't you tell us, why don't we continue on the show this week with Mike's Reading Corner?
Oh, okay. So I finished two more comic books, graphic novels, whatever you want to call them. My goal now is basically to give, you know, either the YouTube video or to give the podcast more content because there's not a lot of movies coming out. I'm going to try to read at least one comic book every 2 weeks. So I can at least, and I've done more, so I can at least do a part one week, part two the next week. But this time I've done two. So the first one is Justice League of America, The Lightning Saga by Brad Meltzer and Jeff Johns, introduction by Patton Oswalt. Not that introduction matters, but sure. This one right here, now Greg, I know you've read it before, but it's probably been a while, so you might not remember it. Because you let me borrow it. It's hard to describe this one. It's interesting. And I say it's interesting because I'm still a novice when it comes to comic book reading, especially DC. The best way, as I was reading, the best way I can describe it is, let's say you start off watching Walking Dead. Okay? You watch the first season. All right? And then you don't watch any more of The Walking Dead until season 13 or whatever it's on. And you just jump right into season 8, whatever the season is now. Let's say season 8. I don't even know. And you kind of understand a little bit, but you're like, I don't know who that character is. I don't know who that character is. Because this story takes the Justice League of America, the Justice Society of America, from the past, the future, present, and they're all kind of coming together, and there's a bunch of people that I'm like, I know you're a superhero, and you kind of do stuff. And then the story switches around. It kind of comes together, but this is not one where if somebody goes, hey, I haven't read comic books in a while, where should I start? I'm not recommending this one. Now, if you're a big fan of Justice League and DC and stuff like that, I would say absolutely. Go and read it. You'll probably love it. It was just it was a little bit confusing for me. Just to be honest with you, there's probably more. Somebody who has read it and understands it, please just tell me what the plot was. You know, like that'll be a segment. Just comment below and just be like, "Hey, Mike, this is what actually happened." And I'm like, "Oh, that makes sense." So I can't say too much more about that. I don't know if you remember anything about the Lightning Saga or not, Greg.
I it's been a long time since I read it, if I'm being honest.
I figured, yeah.
But I feel like it was my least favorite of the Brad Meltzer run that I had.
Okay.
My favorite, in fact, one of my, top comic book, or graphic novel comic stories, period, was and still is Identity Crisis, which I believe you've read.
No, I have not read it yet.
Okay, it should be in your stack then.
It is. It is here, and I know it is here because after I read the next one I'll talk about, I almost went for that one, but then I said no. I said I want to take a break from DC and even Marvel, and I'm going to pick up something that is not big time.
Right.
You know.
Not capes or cowls, as they say.
Yeah, which we'll talk about next week. That was going to be the one that I was going to read. I'll probably read that one
in a couple of weeks. And if you want to like work your way up to it, my next favorite is Brad Meltzer's Justice League of America, The Tornado's Path. And that is all about Red Tornado. And I think what I liked about Meltzer's run on JSA was, I mean, if you look at Identity Crisis, and you'll get there, obviously you have the big three in play. You have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, but a lot of his focus is on some of the secondary and tertiary characters that are oftentimes overlooked in the DC lore. And obviously, with the Red Tornado being the focus of the Tornado's Path, that one kind of jumps right out. You know, it is like, oh, well, they're hitting you over the head with who this book's really about. But I remember that one more so than the Lightning Saga. But, I'm a big fan of Brad Meltzer's work. I've seen him speak, and I've got autographs on three different books of his now. So including Identity Crisis. So holds a special place in my heart. It's been it's been several years since I've read the Lightning Saga.
Yeah, but you're right with the secondary characters because one of the bigger characters in Lightning Saga was Red Arrow, Speedy.
Yep.
So, the next one I read was Mr. Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember picking this one up and from my stack, picking it up. And I was like, oh, I don't think this is Marvel or DC. Now, if I would have looked, and it says DC right on the title, so I don't know what I was thinking. This is also a very interesting one. I will try to give a bit of the story. So there is Darkseid and Highfather, and they're battling. They're both gods, basically. And they're battling, and then finally there's a truce, and for the truce, they have to switch sons.
Right.
For whatever reason. I don't know. That's what gods do, I guess. Who knows? So the, let's see, Highfather, who's the good guy, his son goes to Darkseid and basically is tortured and stuff like that. That's how Darkseid raised – and not only Darkseid, but Granny Goodness, she's the main torturer. That's how they raise their kids. It's literally like through torture and pain and stuff like that. And then, obviously, Darkseid's son gets raised by Highfather, and he, praise and love and everything. The one that Darkseid raises is known as Scot Free. Because and they call him that because he always tries to escape. Right, that's what Granny Goodness calls him, Scot Free. Anyway, he does escape after a while, and he becomes an escape artist. He takes over Mr. Miracle, who was an escape artist. He takes over his costume and career and stuff like that. anyway, a lot of the story is Mr. Miracle and his wife, Big Barda. And they are trying to, obviously, fight and kill Darkseid. But one of the funny or humorous type of things in this is that if you take away the gods, the superhero type stuff, it's basically a story of a husband and wife trying to get along and like trying to talk about moving furniture. Because there's one scene or one panel, I guess, or several panels, where they're, I believe they're going to fight Darkseid. They're going through some place and they're fighting a bunch of people. But as they're doing it, they're talking about like, hey, we got to take the stuff out of the closet. Yeah, but if we take the stuff out of the closet, then where are we going to put it? Well, I wanted to move the bathroom over here. Like, literally, like, stuff like a couple, I would assume, I'm not a couple, right, but a married couple would probably talk about.
Yeah.
But they just happen to be gods.
Yeah, they're bringing, like, everyday household conversations into, you know, like, this siege on Apocalypse or something like that. You know, it's very... like you mentioned, and I don't say this to, you know, like poke at you or anything, but it's something that I think a lot of couples can relate to. Like, no matter what's going on, you're always like, we could do this or we could do that, or, you know, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? That type of thing. You know, it made it very relatable.
Yeah.
Made them very relatable.
Sorry. One of the things that they also, so Darkseid has the anti-life equation, and it's kind of interspersed where you don't really know if what Mr. Miracle is experiencing is real or not. And I'll be honest with you, this one, I about halfway through it, I was like, I do not understand this at all. And I almost wanted to just like put it down and be like, I'll just pick up a different one. But I was stubborn. I was like, I'm just going to keep reading it. But there were so many times I was like, this doesn't make sense. Up until like near the end, then it became clear again. But still, between those two, I like Mr. Miracle the best. Just because of the whole odd, you know, talking about furniture. Oh, and they have a baby. They have a baby, and like they still have like evil people on their side, kind of the family. And it's like, okay, we got to invite the crazies or something like that. We got to invite the crazies. I don't really want to. Yeah, but, you know, it's a nice thing. And, like, their family comes down and they're congratulating them on the baby, but they're also like, oh, yeah, we're going to kill you later. And it was just so so odd. Just, you know, if you think about, like, I mean, I don't have any in-laws, obviously, and I'm sure Greg loves his in-laws in case they're listening. But if you ever had any bad in-laws, it's kind of like that.
And the book that you were reading was by Tom King, which is the more the most recent run on Mr. Miracle. It was a 12-issue limited series. It was critically and commercially acclaimed, and it went on started in 2017, and finished up in 2018. So. Last 12th and final issue was released just about 2 years ago, November 14th, 2018. So it's a good book. I like that Mr. Miracle book. And I liked we didn't give any credit to the artist, but we should. Mitch, if I get it mispronounced, I apologize. But Gerads, G-E-R-A-D-S, I apologize, Mitch. But I liked it. It's a very distinguishable look to the art in Mr. Miracle. So good readings there, Mikes.
Yep. I'll have another one for next week.
All right. Well, let's get into some of our news topics this week then, shall we?
Let's do it.
We're going straight to the old Nerds United Facebook page with the news. And number one, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, or as we like to say in this house, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Anyway, a live-action movie. They're going to start filming in this upcoming spring of 2021 for a movie that is going to be on Disney+. Mike.
Yes.
where are you at on this?
First of all, I love the Rescue Rangers. That was when I was younger. I remember watching that. I know it was the Rescue Rangers, and then Tailspin was like right after it or right before. I remember those two being together.
Darkwing Duck was in that block as well.
Yes. Darkwing Duck, absolutely. And then I think at some point in time, Gargoyles was in that block. I think so.
I know I was watching Gargoyles. I can tell you, I can't tell you exactly when it started, although I know we've talked about Gargoyles before, but I for sure was watching it in the spring of 95 because we had just moved to New Baden and we were living in an apartment at the time while the house was being built, and I was sitting up there watching Gargoyles on TV and doing my homework, or yes, quote unquote, doing my homework, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So with Rescue Rangers, yeah, I'm absolutely happy about it. I believe if I read the article correctly, they might have some of the same voice actors doing it.
I'm not against the idea wholesale. However,
okay,
I've seen, you know, like the quote unquote live action Smurfs and right, live action Alvin and the Chipmunks. And they just don't mesh very well. And if you, and I don't, I mean, I've been watching a little bit more of Chippendale's Rescue Rangers with my son on Disney Plus, and he gets a kick out of it, but I don't really remember many human characters. It'd be like doing a live action DuckTales where it's not live action because there's no humans. You know, it might be,
right,
I can't even think of the technology now, motion capture. You know, it might be something like that, but it's not like it's all animated to some degree. And, you know, I feel like Tailspin is the same way. You know, you've got perhaps some, I don't remember, Fat Cat was like, if I remember, Fat Cat might have been the biggest character on that cartoon, and he was still a cat. Like, there were no humans right around. So I'm on board for a movie. I just don't think it needs to be live action.
I don't mind the live action if they change it to where they actually have facial expressions, like we've talked about several times. If not, yeah, I'd much rather just have it be a cartoon.
I mean, because if they start with Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, or, you know, let's just keep it simple. If they start with Chippendale, that sounds like Chippendales. If they start with Chip and Dale, then what's going to stop them from doing, like, Goofy or Donald or Mickey and Minnie in live action? And I don't think anybody wants that.
Well, we say that. However, they made a lot of money with Lion King, with Jungle Book, with Aladdin, which, of course, granted, Aladdin's humans.
You're right. But I don't think anybody wants their beloved Mickey Mouse interacting in a human world other than, you know, like the human-sized, you know, mascot character that they see at Disney World.
Right. Well, yes, I agree with what you're saying. However, really, it's not up to – we're not the target demographic. Even though it's nostalgic for us.
Are we not, Mike?
No, we're not.
I will.
You are sort of the demographic.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is if Garrett or Little Mahachko says, "Dad," and he points at the TV and he wants to watch it, or there's a movie and he wants to go see it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go watch it.
You'd be surprised how often I say no.
Oh, I'm sure, but then eventually he gets it. I know how it is with kids. It's okay. It'd be the same if my like Nolan's too old for it. But if like my nieces or nephews wanted to go see it and they said, "Uncle Mike, you're taking me," and I had the money for it, okay, yeah, then I'm taking you.
Okay. I will agree to disagree. And let's move forward.
In 2021, I'm gonna revert back to this, what I said. at seeing. Well, as you're going to the movie theater, as you're sitting down watching the Chippendales Rescue Rangers for the 50th time.
Yeah. Don't start with me, Mike. Yeah. But let's talk about some of what they're doing at Disney Studios, and specifically how it's helping the other side. Because you shared a story with our Facebook friends earlier this week that said that the Batman is going to utilize some of the Mandalorian's groundbreaking virtual production techniques. And I did watch some of the behind-the-scenes things on Mandalorian, which, by the way, we're recording this on 10/24. We're a week away from Mandalorian Season 2. And
yes.
I don't know if they've even announced what that's going to look like, if they're going to dump all the episodes or do it week by week like they did the first time around. But we're a week away from some Mando 2. But some of those behind-the-scenes things, they had like the Wall-O, you know, effects, you know, like they were able to do all of these grand exterior shots indoors with a wall of, I mean, it's not even green screen. It's a wall of LED. I don't know how to explain it. It's a wall of miracle. It's a wall of magic and fantasy.
Yeah. And so the Batman is going to utilize it, and because I'm rereading the article, apparently Thor Love and Thunder is also going to do it.
Thunder. Sorry.
So I think you're going to, especially during these times, I think you're going to see a lot more movies or studios utilizing this technology, because why not? You know?
Were you able to tell any difference in watching Mandalorian?
Not at all.
Okay. So you don't think...
Where were you?
I honestly would have to go back. I haven't gone back and watched Mandalorian since, so I probably feel like that's something I need to do before season 2 starts up. So I've got a week to watch, 8 episodes? 10 episodes maybe? Something like that. So the challenge is there. But I don't remember anything being noticeable. I don't even know if I would have known about the... you know, video screen, if they hadn't done a whole special behind the scenes, you know, look at the video screen. The fact that they're using it for Thor Love and Thunder doesn't surprise me a bit. But the fact that, you know, they're sharing this playbook, so to speak, with the opposition is kind of, I don't know. It's either somebody at Warner Brothers figured it out, or they said, all right, hey, look, guys. All right, we're all in this together, right?
Well, and I don't know if it was necessarily like a patented thing.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It could have been, you know, something that neither studio actually owned either. They might have, you know, bought or rented or whatever from somebody else, from a third party. Yes.
Yep. All right. Moving on, so while we're talking about DC, he's coming back. Jared Leto is coming back as Joker for Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah. Like I said when I posted it, not my favorite Joker, but let's see what old Zachariah can do with him. Because, hey, maybe he can make him better.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but I saw that it was confirmed just today that Joe Manganiello also is back as Deathstroke.
Yes, indeed.
So.
I almost posted that on the website too, but I didn't. So
we are, I don't know, 4 or 5 villains away from a Legion of Doom.
That might be something they're going for.
I don't know. You're trying to throw an awful lot. I mean, you got Lex Luthor. I could hear the G forming in my brain, but I almost said Lex Luger. I'm like, nope. But you have Lex Luthor, who's in prison. I know it's going to be like a 4-part miniseries, and I don't know how many hours that it's going to be over those 4 parts. But I just feel like they're trying to squeeze a whole lot into these four parts, you know? Like, this Snyder Cut's, and this has been the talk of the internet for a couple weeks now. This Snyder Cut's no longer just, you know, finishing out Zack Snyder's vision. This is a whole new world.
Yeah, well, and I was saying that from the beginning. We both were. This isn't, you know, this is what he was going to do anyway. No, not at all. He learned, like I said before, he learned from the mistakes of Joss Whedon and that Justice League, and listening to the fans and hearing the fans go, oh, we didn't like this part. Oh, cool. It doesn't matter if Zachariah was going to have that same part in his movie. Now he's going to take it out. And by the way, I don't blame him at all. This is not, you know, talking shit about him. But if he hears, hey, we want more of, I don't know, The Flash. Hey, guess what? Yeah, you know, we got a couple more scenes of The Flash. Let's put them in there. Cool.
We're going to get a little bit more Ray Fisher, I think, as a cyborg. And what we're not going to get is any more Henry Cavill as Superman.
Not any extra scenes.
I don't know. I was making that up. I have no idea.
No, well, because Henry Cavill has said he's not reshooting anything, which means that he might have already had everything he needed from Henry Cavill.
You think we're going to get any crazy scenes where one of the male superheroes has to fall on Diana and roll on the floor with her and then end up on top of her and cause a shitstorm?
I believe Zach has already said absolutely not.
Fair. All right. Real quick, while we're talking about movies and television, Mighty Morphin, well, I don't know if I can call it Mighty Morphin, but the Power Rangers franchise is getting a new film and a TV reboot.
Absolutely.
Tell me about this, Mike. You read the article. I know you didn't just share the link blindly.
No, I did read it. First of all, were you ever a Power Rangers fan as a kid?
Power Rangers came about when I was at a time when even if you watched Power Rangers, you never admitted to watching Power Rangers. So I never watched Power Rangers. And I continue to never watch Power Rangers after that first Power Rangers movie. Like, all right, so I'll admit, I watched the show. It was on like before school. And I watched it a little bit. You know, I don't know what I was, 12, 13, something like that when I was on. I don't even know. Maybe not even that old. And I remember parts of it. And then I was just like, okay, I'm not going to watch Power Rangers anymore. And then they went on to have like 25 different versions of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, though. Out of curiosity, once a couple years ago, I did watch, maybe not even that long ago, I did watch that movie that made with Elizabeth Banks produced or whatever. I did watch that. That was different. But Power Rangers, no Power Rangers, I'm pretty indifferent about the whole thing.
Yeah, I was the same way. Like, I was just slightly too old for it, but I would babysit my cousin, and he was obviously younger, and then he would watch it, and I would watch it as well. And I saw the reboot of it, and it was okay, you know. It could have been way better, but it wasn't as bad as people said it was. It was just in the middle. But basically, it doesn't say too much because there's not much about it as far as like the reboot. They're still kind of like in the planning phase, but they are talking about, of course they have to do this, doing a shared universe. And I think it's with Hasbro, if I remember correctly.
That's a good question. No, because I think it was Saban.
Saban, yeah. So I don't know what they're going to share with. But like I, you know, there's the regular Power Rangers, and then there's all kinds of spinoffs like Sentai Power Ranger.
You said Hasbro, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. You were right.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Well, Hasbro's a really big one, but I know Saban is also, because it's the reboot was called Saban's Power Rangers or Saban's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
So, that's interesting.
So, yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. I don't think they know yet, but they're going to give us more Power Rangers.
Is that what everybody wanted, Mike?
That's, you know what? I think that's going to bring peace in the world.
Oh, well, in that case, let's get this thing out tomorrow. Josh says we're not allowed to talk politics anymore.
Wait. What is his name?
Best friend of the show, Josh.
Yeah. Best friend of the show,
He commented on last week's podcast post saying I could do without the politics talk. I think even Josh could agree that can't we all just get along?
That's right. Can we all just be like best friend of the show, Josh?
And correct me at every opportunity?
Exactly.
And rub my face in every mistake? Because that's what best friend of the show, Josh, does. And somehow we still allow him to, unless we haven't blocked his IP address from accessing this show, which is good because we don't want to, you know, isolate or alienate one of our 35 loyal listeners. So
exactly.
So, best friend of the show, Josh, we sure do love you.
Damn right.
And we love everybody who listens to the show. So thank you very much. Mike, anything else that we have for this week? I'm sure there was more news. I just don't have anything pulled up to talk about.
The only other thing that I can think of, but once again, I almost posted this, but I didn't. What do you think? Were you ever a fan of Animaniacs?
Yes.
They're doing a reboot of it.
I know.
And
they got all the voices back. And it's like a similar art style. Mm-hmm. Same for Pinky and the Brain.
Yes.
And look, if I had more time, I'd be more excited. Is it something that I, you know, can turn on for my son sometime? Absolutely. Yeah. This is something I'm going to just sit down because, like, golly gee, I sure do wish I was 12 again and, like, you know, grab a bunch of snacks from the pantry and sit down to watch Animaniacs when I get home in the afternoon. No, because I don't have that kind of time. Usually it's get home, rush to put some dinner in my belly, and then leave again. So, or keep, you know, try to keep up to date on all the other stuff I'm watching. For example, last night, I sat down on the couch to watch Lovecraft Country, and I think it was episode 7. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was episode 7. And when I woke up, I was 20 to 30 minutes into episode 10. So I got to go back do some rewatching. But that's what I've been watching. I've been enjoying Lovecraft Country. I have been enjoying Doom. No, that's not right. Doom Patrol. Brain fart there. I was like, Doom's not right. Nobody enjoyed that movie. but Doom Patrol is a different story. And what else have I been watching?
Wait, on Doom Patrol, what are you still on season 1?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm not quite as far as I'd like to be, but sometimes after you watch Lovecraft Country, an episode of Lovecraft Country, and you're like, that's some pretty intense stuff. You know what I'm going to watch? Futurama. You know what I'm going to watch? Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Community or...
I get it.
So if you haven't been watching Lovecraft Country, give it a shot. It'll make you think things that you never thought you'd have to think. And speaking of things you never thought you'd think, I had woke up from a dream this morning that was teetering on the edge of being a nightmare, Mike.
Okay.
And I didn't really tell anybody about this, including my wife. But I was involved, how do I put this kindly, in a type of, I don't know if pyramid scheme is the right word for it, but it was definitely a scheme where, like, I was, like, the goal, my boss's goal for me is, like, got to make the calls, got to make the calls, got to make the sales. Make the sales, I'm happy. But we were set up at, like, the front of a Walmart. And I was just, like, really being lazy and not making my calls. And I said, you know what? I'm bugging out. And then all of a sudden, my boss comes, like, and by the way, I'll reveal who my boss was because it is a celebrity. It's not like my actual boss or anything like that. But he comes, like, tearing out of the Walmart with, like, a gun in his hand. I'm going to get you. And I'm, like, falling down a dirt hill, like, into a construction zone. And I'm, like, finding a construction truck. And I'm trying to drive away. And he's in a sports car. And he's driving much faster. And I was being chased, Michael, by none other than Timothy Oliphant.
Whoa.
And then I'm, like, I woke up. And I laid there in bed for a second. I'm, like, I'm not going to go back to sleep and see how that one ends. And I got to pee. So I don't know why Timothy Oliphant decided to make his debut in my dreams. And even the way I say it like that, I don't like the way I said it.
No, Timothy Olifantastic.
Olifantastic. So I don't even know how I got on that topic. Anyway, that's our show. I'm going to go do the editing. Watch something that's not going to give me any Timothy Oliphant dreams and or any other odd dreams. I'm going to keep it light tonight because it is almost 11 o'clock. And my puppy says hello. And we bid you all a fond farewell for the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. I'm Greg Mahochko. We remind you this week and every week to be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.